Blog Talk Radio.
Well, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. I thank God for another opportunity to come before His presence with thanksgiving and to share with you the Word of God. It is the Word of God that is the power of God unto salvation. And I believe that as a result of sharing with you tonight, what I have to share, your life will never be the same in Jesus' precious name. Well, if you're listening by phone or by internet and you need to get off for some reason, you can listen by phone by dialing 646-595-4877. Again, that's 646-595-4877. And we are still studying on the doctrines of greater promises. The doctrines of better promises. And we're going to be in the Word of God tonight discussing lesson two of this particular series. So if you have a Bible, I would encourage you to have a Bible with you tonight because we're going to read the Word of God. In addition to reading the Word of God, I would ask that you take some notes. And I've asked all my listeners, especially in the coming days, to get a special notebook for this particular broadcast, especially those who are called to the ministry. You will find that this particular ministry will help process and give you the information to proclaim and explain. And so I think this particular lesson will help, especially with the charge that the Lord gave me earlier this year, and that was to be a diligent doctrinal instructor. And I'm doing that by the grace of the Holy Spirit, and He's enlightened me to really discuss certain things that I never thought I would generally deal with. However, I think as a result, my faith is strengthened. My understanding of the Word of God is strengthened. It is exercised and it's producing greater manifestations of God's presence in my life. And I would encourage you to take the same note and to take the same standard and stick-to-itiveness to the Word of God as I'm taking. And in order to do that, I want to give you a step-by-step model as to how to go through the Scripture and to extract doctrine so that way it can be applicable by the wisdom of God through His Word. And then by the help of the Holy Spirit, you'll have confidence when you're proclaiming to a congregation what thus saith the Lord. So tonight, get your notebook out. Get you a Bible, get you a notebook, and label it USWAT. And then every time you go through a study of USWAT, you can download it at will. You can go back and listen to it and rewind it if you don't get it. But date the time that you listen to it. Write down the scriptures. I always give you what I call the portal passage, where we're going with that particular lesson. And I'll have 5 to 7 scriptures every lesson. So that way you can get a background synopsis of the Scripture and not only have what my content gives you, but also have what thus saith the Lord from the Word of God. And then after you do that, you'll find that there's so much resources on there. I did a test. I listened to about 2 months' worth of the teachings on the USWAT radio program, and I wrote almost half a notebook on it by just simply taking down the lesson, writing down the scriptures, and going through the points. And if you go through the points, you'll become more organized in your delivery. You'll become more organized in your communication concerning your doctrines and your beliefs. And you'll also be able to approach the Lord because the Lord does things in decency and in order. And as the order is proclaimed in this system, which was revealed to me by the Spirit, you'll also see a reflection of the Holy Spirit in your study, and you'll be able to communicate with God as accurate as others of among those of like precious faith. We have a minister's fellowship, in addition to what I'm saying, that is based on the final authority of the Word of God, where we're not here to push agendas that are hidden and manipulate God's precious people. But we stand on God's word to provide the things for which we have. It's called the National Assembly of Urban Worship Leaders. And I'm making a special point and a special call out to you so that way you can get be a part of this great fellowship. Now, those of you who are listening, look on our website. We have links to other websites that give information about our ministry. all the information that you receive on this broadcast. There are additional teachings that you cannot receive from this particular broadcast, but you can receive it from my ministry at a specified price that I believe is better than most prices that are out here. Well, tonight we're going to be looking at the work of the Holy Spirit in Lesson 2, and we're still on under the teaching of the doctrine of the Eternal Spirit from the series of the doctrines of better promises. So we're going to be in the scripture tonight. Our portal passages are Hebrews 8, 6 through 13, John 7, 14 through 19, Hebrews 9, 11 through 15. And then for tonight's lesson, we're going to be in Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 40, Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 46, Acts chapter 11, verses 12 through 24, Acts chapter 15, verses 3 through 10, Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 8, and then Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, and then we'll conclude in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. Let's look to the Holy Spirit and get him involved in tonight's lesson. And truly the Lord is in this place. I thank him already for bearing witness to his presence. Father, we thank you for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made. I rejoice and I'm glad. I thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. I do lean to the Holy Spirit as educator and guide tonight to speak clearly and articulately through my thoughts and my deliberation of theological discourse and subjectivity, as I fearlessly make known the mysteries of the good news of the gospel of Christ. So Holy Spirit, have your way in what is said. And Father, you alone will get all the praise, honor, and glory for the things that shall be accomplished and the things that shall be revealed. It is in the name of Jesus that we do pray and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We have been on a particular series entitled The Doctrines of Better Promises. We found in Hebrews chapter 8, if you would turn with me, a very interesting passage. Hebrews is what I consider the defense of our faith, the substance, the very substance of our faith is explained in Hebrews. And I believe that this particular passage helps us as believers establish a strong doctrinal front that affords us confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ ultimately, and also making his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. It is our continual mission for the overall series to develop a general theology of six distinct teachings that express the benefits of better promises given to every believer, and to develop clear scriptural based cognitive that promotes the leadership of Jesus, the power of righteousness, and the motivation for godly living. We said that we wanted to, in this teaching, have a dissertational thread that links us to obtain, first of all, the knowledge of God, to exist in the authority of God, and then to be led exclusively by the Spirit of God. And in doing so, we said that we would listen and learn six doctrines and indulge our studies in those doctrines. And in those doctrines, we said that we would study the doctrine of the eternal spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, the doctrine of predestination, which is the power of divine will, the doctrine of righteousness, and the doctrine of sanctification, and the doctrine of discipleship. We are in no ways negating the reality that these doctrines are only a portion of the doctrines that are revealed in the scriptures, and that all doctrines are given profitable for doctrine, for correcting, and righteousness, for righteousness, living in godliness, for reproof, for rebuke, for comfort, for correction, and for instruction. So we want to become established in the knowledge concerning these better promises, so in terms of the kingdom of our Lord will be a direct microcosm of what it is in heaven and what it should be on earth. And so the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is the foundation of the benefits expressed under the stipulations of the new covenant. That's why it's imperative that we give the doctrine of the Spirit a more in-depth dialogue than any other subject. And so we talked about that in this particular dialogue. In the first three lessons, we would deal with the role of the Holy Spirit, the works of the Holy Spirit, and the attributes of the Holy Spirit. And in order to do that, we needed to discuss these better promises. And the foundational root is the doctrine of the eternal Spirit. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 8 right quick, and let's review this particular passage. It bears repeating, verses 6 through 13. But now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for a second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this covenant I will make with them, with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and I will put my laws into their hearts, nor into their minds, and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every one his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me. For the least to the from the least to the greatest, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. In that, he saith, a new covenant hath he made the first old, now which that which decayeth and waxeth away. And I've referred you also to John, to the words of Jesus, that I think is so important. In John, we learn that Jesus said, and answered the Pharisees, of course you know he was teaching, and they didn't understand why he had learned. Of course, you can go back up to 7:14. It says, now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not my own. It's not mine, but his that sent me. And if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory, he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did you not know Moses gave you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? You know, and then the people answered him and said, thou hast the devil, who goeth about to kill thee. Jesus answered them and said, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses gave unto you the circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Of course, you know the situation was Jesus had been teaching in the synagogue, and as a result of his teaching in the synagogue, one of the men of God got healed on the Sabbath day. Of course, you know, early in another account, in Luke's account, it says that the Sabbath was made for the was made for the man, not man for the Sabbath. And then he was teaching, and as he was teaching in the Word of God, the people of God said, how does this man know these things? He said his doctrine was not his own. Now, in Hebrews chapter 8, we see that there is a more excellent ministry that Jesus contains. And that ministry is the basis by which we establish our covenant. that has been established based on better promises. Jesus said his doctrine wasn't his, but it was of God. So when we study the covenant of better promises that is afforded by the excellent ministry of Jesus Christ, which we all should profess to endeavor, then we stem back to the source of it, which was the doctrine of God, and which he possessed, and which he knew, which he understood, which he apprehended from. He apprehended it so that people marveled at him. And he compared it to the old covenant, which was done away with, which is the same law by which the new covenant, which is established upon better promises, exists in. And so that brings our study to relevance to today. We need to know these principles, these better promises that are afforded to us through the excellent ministry in which Christ not only died for, but exists for as a mediator of a better covenant. And so in our foundation scripture for the doctrine of the eternal spirit, we find this passage in Hebrews chapter 9. Turn, flip back over to Hebrews. It's just a passage away from where we started. And look at chapter 9 and look at verses 11 through 15. I love this particular passage. It says, "But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with human hands," or not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, "neither by the blood of goats or calves or of his, but by his own blood, into a holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." So it is through the eternal spirit that Jesus offered his blood, and the offering of his blood caused redemption, salvation, justification, sanctification to occur. But how did that occur? Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sealed his blood, secured his blood, so that the offering could be secure. Amen. And as a result, we need to understand this eternal spirit, because the eternal spirit has much to do with the foundational root that causes us to be established in these better promises. And so that brings us to our lesson. We learned in the last lesson the role of the Holy Spirit, which conveyed the authority of his reign that was promised to us by the Lord Jesus, and his ability to be a professor that would only teach us truth, and the possessor of truth that gives people the power to be sons of God. And so this lesson, in addition to what has been discussed, essentially enhances the role to how the role works, to reveal, number one, the effects of his reign because of believers, and then the essence of his effects within the heart of believers. I want to give you some notes on the role of the Holy Spirit. Just out of review, the role of the Holy Spirit gives the cause of the Spirit. And of course, you know, in the last lesson, we found out in John chapter 14 that there are at least five distinct job descriptions that the Holy Spirit will do. Number one, the Holy Spirit would come from God in the name of the Lord Jesus. It would teach us all things, bring all things to our remembrance. It would manifest the reality of Jesus' gift, the gift of peace and comfort. And then it would introduce us to the Father that is greater than Jesus. It shows us the revelation of the Godhead. And so the cause is revealed in the role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit at work in the lives of people gives the effect. And so one of the greatest effects the Holy Spirit could give to a people is the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Of course, you know, we read in John chapter 14, and this is not one of our passages, but it is the passage from the last lesson. But in John chapter 14, we read that Jesus, with a third peace, as a sign of the Holy Spirit, glory to God. And you can look at verse 27, it says, well, actually, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you. Peace I give unto you. He's still talking about the Holy Spirit. Not as the world giveth. Give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, let it be afraid. It says, because I go, I don't want to leave you comforted. Amen. So the Holy Spirit, greatest quality through his role and his effect is the peace that surpasses all understanding. I believe that this doctrine teaches us the importance of possessing the Holy Spirit in that much so that we could obtain the peace of God. And that one of the evidences of the Holy Spirit being at work in our lives and having a role in our lives is that the peace of God is evident. Amen. And so we must never confine the work of the Holy Spirit to just provoking us unto truth. In addition to the work of the Holy Spirit serves as an ever-sounding reminder that God, that the Godhead still has authority on the earth. Why? God gives us peace. But the peace that he gives us is based on the Comforter that he sent. And the Comforter that he sent testifies of Jesus. So the Comforter that he sent testifies of Jesus, and that testimony affords the gifts in which Jesus gives to his people, and that is peace. So the Holy Spirit gives us peace, and he provokes not only truth, but he provokes a reminder to us that the Godhead is still in authority in the lives of his people. Hallelujah. So the work of the Holy Spirit is not known until faith is actualized in the life of the believer. So the Holy Spirit will direct you to produce faith that works so that the knowledge is based, so that the knowledge you receive is based on what is revealed by the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead. Jesus is the Godhead bodily. The Holy Spirit is the Godhead spiritually. The Father is the head of the Godhead. Amen. And of course, and this also brings to light, and I'm going to say this a couple of times in this particular teaching, that the Jesus-only doctrine is inaccurate. The reason being, first of all, we already took you to John chapter 7, where Jesus says, I'm not talking of my own doctrine, but the doctrine that I have was given me of God. It's the doctrine of God. This is what you determine whether the God, doctrine of God, not so that I can glory in myself, but I can glory in the one that sent me. So if Jesus was operating in the glory that sent him based on the doctrine that he gave that wasn't of himself, he could not be God the Father. And if he was God the Father, when he died, the whole world, which exists by the word of his power, would have also died, and we would not be able to exist. So this reinforces the essential doctrine of the Godhead. The doctrine of the Godhead will always be reinforced when you deal with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So when you're teaching people about the Holy Spirit, you have to qualify that the Holy Spirit is not something that just possesses them for gift sakes, but it introduces them to the reality of who God is, who his Son is, what his Son came to do, and why his Son came to do it, and who his Son did it for. And as a result, they all work together, glory to God, to remind us people that we're not comfortless, that we have a Comforter that affords us peace, that affords us work, that affords us grace, that affords us power. Hallelujah. Well, let's get into this lesson. The goal of this lesson is to motivate the believer to allow the Holy Spirit to work at what he does best so that the believer can exist in a constant state of faith. We're going to tie the Holy Spirit to our faith tonight. So for our first point, I want to give you indications as to how you can know when the Holy Spirit is at work in your life and how you can know how to convey the Holy Spirit being at work. You'll be surprised in this particular lesson that I'm not going to deal with speaking in tongues, nor am I going to be dealing with the slaying power that is an effect of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I'm going to be talking about the effect of the Holy Spirit, but those are signs, evidences of the Holy Spirit. And we'll get into that when we come to the attributes of the Holy Spirit. But the effect of the Holy Spirit, which I want you to understand for point number one, is that when the Holy Spirit is at work, the effect of his work will empower God's people. When empowerment takes place, it is because people believe the word of God and receive the word, the power of God that is revealed through that word. So when one believes, they will receive, and then they will achieve. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is sent to work so that the people can obtain the power of God. Not only the power to exist, but the power unto salvation. Hallelujah. So when empowerment takes place, it is with the people which enhances and empowers cultures to change. Do you get that? When empowerment takes place is when the people can empower culture and create change. And then when empowerment takes place, gifts within the believer can arise. You know, in Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 46, we see that the people of God receive the Holy Spirit, and a whole culture, the Gentiles, receives the Holy Ghost. And Peter says, shouldn't we forbid these to be baptized in water since they receive the Holy Ghost as we? In Acts chapter 8, we see Peter operating again where the Holy Spirit fell on the people. The people received in Acts chapter 10. It was poured out upon the people in Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 40. And we also see that the Holy Spirit was at work to cause people to believe. With Philip and the of course, you know, Acts chapter 10 deals with Philip and the eunuch and his experience there. In Acts chapter 11, we see that many were added. So evangelism also occurs based on the working of the Holy Spirit to empower people. Well, so one of the greatest things that you will see as an effect of the Holy Spirit being at work is people being empowered. Not just to say, she wrote a Honda, I smell ammonia, le casa la casa. But for people to be grown, to affect change in cultures. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's at work. Hallelujah. The second thing that indicates that the Holy Spirit is at work is that the work of the Holy Spirit prepares the people. It not only empowers them, but it prepares the people when given authority to exist as present, constant, eternal witnesses of God, of the Godhead being at work. That the authority of the Godhead is still at work, is still on the throne in this present day. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has been sent as a part of the Godhead to comfort us, to lead and guide us into all truth, to show us things to come. And in doing so, he prepares us. So one of the greatest tools for preparation's sake is the testimony of the Lord Jesus, which gives hope to God's people. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has been sent to work and to display his work to prepare God's people. So in preparing God's people, he will share the testimony of the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit, the scripture says in John 17, John 15, John 16, that the Holy Spirit will not testify of himself, but he will testify of me. That's what Jesus said. And show us things to come. Why? So we can have a hope, because the hope deferred makes the heart sick. So when we have a hope that is anchored in the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit has means to work, and he prepares us as a people. Preparation breeds good character, which the Holy Spirit knows and educates believers in goodness, in the grace through the gospel. In goodness through his grace and through the gospel. And so when we are prepared, one of the ways we know the Holy Spirit is at work in preparing God's people is that they become people of good character. Hallelujah. And then thirdly, preparation is the qualifier and the qualifying factor of true sanctification. You know I can talk a lot on sanctification. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart, always ready to give an answer in the hope that lies within you. Well, the hope that lies within us is because of the testimony of the Lord Jesus and the preparation of good character that the Holy Spirit prepares us with. And it also sets us apart so that the Holy Ghost, so that we can function not only in the Holy Ghost, but so that we can function in the presence of an all-holy God who cannot look on sin. Turn with me to Romans chapter 15. I'm going to read you something that's beautiful about the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 15. Glory to God. We're talking about the Holy Spirit at work in the lives of believers. Hallelujah. My God from Zion. It says in 4 through 8, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. That's why I said to you that the Holy Spirit knows how to educate believers in goodness, in grace, and in the gospel. Why? Because for the first time it was written for our learning that we through patience and comfort, and who was sent to establish comfort and peace in our lives? The Holy Spirit. Through comfort, other scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you of like mindedness of one toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and with one mind one mouth glorify God, even your Father, even the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus is not God the Father. Wherefore we receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Hallelujah. So now, I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises. I want you to hear that. To confirm the what? The promises. What? The doctrines of greater promises? Isn't that a better promises? The promises made unto the Father. Now, go to verse 13. Now, the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brother, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you, in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So that explains the preparation that God does for his people through the power and the working of the Holy Ghost. So we see that God, first of all, empowers people, but he prepares people. He prepares people for the sake of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. He prepares people to breed good character that gives them goodness and grace and the gospel. And then he prepares people so they can be sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And so thirdly, my final point for tonight, the Holy Spirit at work will empower the lifestyle of faith in the heart of believers. Oh, my goodness, the lifestyle of faith in the heart of believers. Now, turn with me to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. So we're going to be going through a couple of passages. Let's read 3 through 9. And being bought on their own way by the church, they were pressed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they received the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there arose certain sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that that it was needful to circumcise them, being the Gentiles, to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when they had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made a choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon their neck of the disciples, which neither of our fathers nor were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. We shall be saved even as they. So then, all the multitude kept silence and gave the audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles. Why? The Holy Spirit at work will empower the lifestyle of faith in the what? In the hearts of believers, in the mindset. What we see here in the illustration of this particular passage is Peter the apostle, who had been there at the original dispensation of the Holy Spirit's activation among the church. And there was a great ministry that was taking place, not only in the life of Peter, not only in the life of Paul and Barnabas, but in Peter. Peter had also went to minister to the Gentiles. And he was the first to minister to the Gentiles when he went to Cornelius' house. But also Paul and Barnabas were also ministering to these people. And what the Pharisees rose up, the Pharisees were religious people. They were Judaism, and they were trying to emphasize the Judaism aspect of Christianity because Jesus said he came for the Jews. It was a legitimate argument. However, because God had established through the Lord Jesus redemption for all that call upon his name, then the work of redemption was not a physical, there was no need for a circumcision because the circumcision was going to take place in the heart. Why? Because God has sanctified them or established them by the Holy Spirit through faith. So faith in the life of believers, whether they be Gentiles or Jews, establish the power needed to exist as the children of God, to exist in the power of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the preparation that the Holy Ghost had made through the work that he testified to the Lord Jesus Christ established the security Glory to God. Glory to God. It established security because remember back in Hebrews chapter 9, our theme scripture, the eternal spirit contained the blood that cleansed us and purged even our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So it was the power of the Holy Spirit at work in the lives of his people to empower them, to prepare them, that gives them the confidence to be a people that are empowered to exist by faith. Glory to God. My Lord, I know I said a lot, but the word of God lets us know that faith, of course you know for one of my sub-points, that James lets us know that faith without works is dead. Paul also lets us know, as he talks to the church of Philippi, that it is he that causes us to will and do his good pleasure. So the Holy Spirit is at work, not only externally, but internally. Why? Because faith has to be a part of, applied to the hearts of believers. Well, in order to be done, that has to be done by the working of the Holy Ghost. That is why the scripture lets us know that faith without works is dead. But what works? Our faith is not in ourselves. It's a gift of God. We have been dealt to every man the measure of faith. So the measure of faith was applied in our hearts just at the initiation of salvation. What was also applied in our hearts at the initiation of salvation? The Holy Ghost, which seals us into the day of redemption. Glory to God. So when we have the Word of God operating in our lives, when we accept the Lord Jesus and the testimony of the Lord Jesus that Jesus died on our behalf, and through his blood it cleanses not only our physical body, not only our security in eternity, but it purges our conscience from dead works so that we can serve the living God. Glory to God. And as a result of serving the living God, we have confidence to operate by faith and not by sight. Glory to God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is at work to apply faith in the hearts of believers. So the Holy Spirit empowers the people with grace, goodness, and the gospel. And by preparing them, sanctifying them, it produces a lifestyle of faith. And so we can go to Romans chapter 5. Go with me to Romans chapter 5. Hallelujah. I get excited when I talk about the Holy Ghost. This is the real teaching. This is the real teaching about the Holy Ghost. This is how you get people to get excited about the things of God. Because when a person needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not just for yakety yak yak God talking back, but it's to empower them to be sons of God. It is not only to empower them, but it's to prepare them. And then it's for them to exist as the people who have a lifestyle of faith, to establish faith in their life. So when the Holy Spirit is at work, those things are evident: preparation, empowerment, and faith. Glory to God. And so in Romans chapter 5, it lets us know, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How we have peace? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's also indicative of the Holy Ghost, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And the glory of God is based on the presence of God, which exists in the power of God, and the power of God is led by the Spirit of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, but it's not shed abroad in our hearts by our intellect. It's not shed abroad in our hearts by our own understanding, but the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. So by his life, we understand that faith can exist because of the Holy Ghost that has been shed abroad in our heart. So the Holy Spirit at work is the true source of reconciliation and what establishes the people in the things of God. And that is what we see repeated in the scriptures, not only with the example of the Gentiles, but all that call upon the name of the Lord. And so in my final point, the Holy Spirit at work in our lives causes faith to be comprehended through the love of God by the power that worketh within us. And when we give and when we receive the Holy Spirit, he goes to work in and on our behalf that we might not only believe but exist in faith, that we might experience God's goodness and be profitable to all mankind. Now, I'll leave you with this particular scripture. Glory to God. Glory to God. And bless his name for his word. Hallelujah. But in Titus chapter 3, glory to God. I tell you, that'll preach. That'll tear up a service if I was at a church. I ain't on no church. I'm just studying the word. But in Titus chapter 3, we see in verses 3 through 8, for we ourselves also sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness of the love of God, glory to God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing and the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is at work, which was shed on us, see, abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should have been made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Why? Because he is the possessor of the eternal spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. This is a faithful saying, these things, which I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Well, I've been sharing with you the work of the Holy Ghost at work, the Holy Spirit at work, whichever way you want to call it. Why? Why? So he can empower us as a people, so he can prepare us as a people, so we can live the lifestyle that he has set us up for by faith, based on the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts by Christ Jesus. Well, may even the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the intent of my thinking, the continuity of my theology, be acceptable in thy sight. God, you're the giver of my strength, and you're my redeemer. Thank you for your word. I praise you and I glorify you for your word. And it's your word that's been led by your spirit, that's been applied to our lives, that work and causes us to stand and exist in true faith, to stand and exist in the works of the one that works in us, because it's greater is he that is within us than he that is within the world. And we have not received the spirit of the world, but received the spirit that cried, Abba, Father, that you can be one with us as we are one, Father, because of the prayer that your Son prayed, the Lord Jesus, that make us one. Father, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the role of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. And as we go into the effects and the affection of the Holy Spirit, or the attributes of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we pray that we would continue to grow in your spirit, that we would continue to be led by your spirit, that we would continue to exist in the confidence of your spirit, to be led by your spirit, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, to be carnally minded is death. Teach us, Lord, how to teach your people to live and be led by your spirit, that they would know your spirit, not another spirit, and your voice that contains your voice, that contains your knowledge, that contains your wisdom. And Father, you alone will get all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' precious name, we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We glorify your name because your name is worthy. Your name is exalted. Your name is above all heavens and earth. We praise you and we lift you up and we lift you on high because you have done great things for us. You have given us your spirit. Spirit. You have given us your glory. You have given us your power. You have given us even your personality, your nature, your qualities, Father, that we will be of your people. And you have put your laws in our minds and in our hearts that we would be to you a people and that you would be to us our God. And we praise you and we give you glory. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. And I trust that you will never be the same, because greater is he that lives within you than he that's within the world. God bless you. This is LaVon Breland, the founder of Urban Glory Campaign and the host of U SWAT Radio. Good night, and God bless you.